Hi, this is John MacArthur reminding you we need to hear how God is using grace to you to help you know His Word better. Get in touch by writing to letters@gty.org. And now, today's broadcast.
Good news. You can know what God's will is for your life. In fact, He spelled it out clearly on the pages of Scripture. See what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit and finding God's will. That's next on Grace to You. Jesus said, "When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth." Question is, how exactly does the Holy Spirit guide you into the truth? Plenty of churches, perhaps including the one that you attend, says the Holy Spirit guides Christians by special gifts, like speaking in tongues, healing, visions, dreams, and other signs. Well, is that really biblical? That how the Holy Spirit reveals God's power and truth? Find out today on Grace to You as John MacArthur continues his look at the role of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. The title of John's current study, Taking the Mystery Out of the Spirit's Work. And now with today's lesson, here's John MacArthur.
There's very little talk in the pragmatic, market-driven ministry of evangelicalism today about the work of the Holy Spirit. Having a true paradigm of sanctification, a true understanding of the work of the Spirit is critical because false paradigms of sanctification cannot restrain the flesh. They cannot lead away from sin. They cannot lead to spiritual growth and spiritual effectiveness, nor to the glory of God. Now, we looked at the beginning, at the saving work of the Holy Spirit. We talked about four things, that the Spirit convicts of sin. Flowing out of that is His second work. He produces out of that conviction penitence or repentance. It is also the work of the Holy Spirit to cause the sinner to repent. Thirdly, the Spirit energizes the gospel in the individual heart, and in a transforming way. And of course, then, fourthly, the Spirit does the actual work of regeneration, being renewed, being given new life. That's the saving work of the Spirit: conviction, repentance, energizing gospel truth in the heart so as to elicit faith, and the work of regeneration. Having begun in the Spirit, how are we then perfected in the Spirit? Number one, the Spirit brings us increasingly into intimacy with God. Not only does the Spirit bring us into intimacy with God, but He illuminates the Scripture. All right, number three, we'll move along in our little outline on the basic ministries of the Holy Spirit. He glorifies Christ to us. He glorifies Christ to us. Number four, the Holy Spirit personally guides us into God's will. Now, you want to be careful when you talk about this, because you have a lot of people running around today saying you need to listen for the voice of God. God wants to speak to you. Be sure you tune in somehow and listen to His voice. And that can get a little bit dangerous. We're not talking about impulses. We're not talking about some kind of experience that you can feel. That can be very dangerous. What we are talking about is that there is a supernatural moving of the Spirit of God providentially in the life of a believer in the direction of that which God purposes. And sometimes we don't even know it until it's done. And you say, well, how can you be sure that you're going to follow when it happens? And the bottom line, and I've said this for years and years in teaching young people, you just make sure that you're walking with the Lord the way you ought to walk. And if you're walking with the Lord in obedience to His Word, that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. And if you're walking in the Spirit, He'll walk you right into the place He wants you to be. Why did I come to Grace Church? Well, there were a couple of other churches in other places that had talked to me about being a pastor. One was on an island in Hawaii. That had a small appeal. Another one was a church in Long Beach. And why here? I didn't hear any voices from God. I didn't hear any signs from heaven. But it was so obvious that God was leading me here, more obvious when I arrived, more obvious now than ever. And this is back to Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He doesn't just start you out and then leave you on your own. You go from there. It's a little more dramatic, for example, in the book of Acts, in chapter 13 of the book of Acts. There were in Antioch, at verse 1, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, they sent them away. They were sent out by the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit spoke in that day before there was the Scripture completion, and there were various miraculous things going on in the apostolic era. That's not the point. That's not how the Spirit of God works now. But the point that I want you to notice there is that the Spirit of God does determine who He wants to go where. And that hasn't changed. And so we can have the confidence that the Spirit of God providentially is going to direct us. It's not going to be a feeling. It's going to be the unfolding of His will. And to be in the middle of it, you need to make sure you're walking in the Spirit, which means to be walking consistently in obedience to the Word of God. And we'll look at that when we get down our list a little further. I love what it says in Acts 15. "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials." Now, that's walking in the Spirit. It seemed good to the Spirit and to us. Here's a confidence that they were operating in the direction that was consistent with the work of the Spirit. Acts 16, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia. The Spirit of Jesus didn't permit them. Now look, here they are again. In some cases, it seems good for the Spirit to have them go this way. It was the Spirit's will to separate them out of the Antiochian church and send them elsewhere. On another occasion, the Spirit stops them from going in a certain place. The phenomena of that apostolic era were different than now, but the same Spirit exercises the same purposes and the same will to have us go here and not go there. And if you want to enjoy the fullness of the Spirit in a life partner, in a life career, in a ministry, it behooves us then to be in the Spirit, and that is to be walking in the Spirit, and that is to be walking in obedience to the Word of God so that we are under the Spirit's control. So the Holy Spirit provides intimacy with God. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Scripture. The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. And the Holy Spirit guides us into God's will. Not by violence, not by violating our inclination, but by supernaturally bending our will, supernaturally changing our desires. And by providence, the ordering of circumstances, the Holy Spirit stirs the heart as well as illuminating the mind. Psalm 143:10, "Teach me to do Thy will." Psalm 119:35, "Make me go in the path of Thy commandments, and therein do I delight." A.W. Pink described this leading of the Spirit with these words, "Those who are directed by this divine Spirit are moved to examine their hearts and take frequent notice of their ways, to mourn over their carnality and perverseness, to confess their sins, and earnestly seek grace to enable them to be obedient." And as you pray that way and as you live that way, the Spirit of God directs your life. It's such a wonderful way to live. It's all I've ever known in my life. It's all I've ever known. The Spirit of God led me to the right woman. The Spirit of God led me to the right church. The Spirit of God led me to the right school, the right ministry, the right people to work with. My life is filled with people that have all been dropped into my life by the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. It's amazing. In fact, it's overwhelming to have the Holy Spirit drop so many gifted people into your life. People say to me, how do you do so many different ministries? How do you do all that? And my answer is, I don't do all that. I just basically show up here on Sunday and preach. And everything else happens because the Lord, through the work of the Spirit, has drawn into this ministry a myriad of gifted people. And I look at all these people and I say, they're all gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're all given to me by the providential working of the Holy Spirit. And I hope that all these folks also feel that all the rest of us are given to them by the Holy Spirit. It's just an amazing thing to live your life. Never look back, never second guess. People say to me, if you had your life to live over again, what would you do different? My answer is, I'm not in charge of my life. I'm not in charge of my life. My life has happened to me. I haven't made it happen. I still don't understand why it happens the way it happens. But what an adventure. If you just stay in the place where God wants you to be, then you're going to walk in the Spirit and you're going to just walk right into the areas of the will of God that the Spirit has for you. Well, number five. The Spirit ministers to us through the body of believers. And I wanted to say this because it fits what I've just been talking about. God surrounds us with people by His Holy Spirit. He draws us all together in a way that creates mutual ministry for maximum impact. This is not just a church where people sit in a pew and listen to somebody talk. This is not just a religion with adherents. This is, by the definition of the New Testament, a body of believers. We are the body of Christ. We have common life, the life of God, and we've been put together like a body is put together, with all the necessary parts for total and complete efficiency spiritually and to accomplish the will of God. And all the parts have to be there. We have to have people who have the gift of leadership and the ability to preach and teach and minister. We have to have those who can discern the knowledge of Scripture and apply the wisdom of the Word of God. We have to have people who serve and people who have the gift of faith, who can pray. All of those functions, all of those ministries are crucial to the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll see how this is the work of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. The same Spirit. The very same Spirit by which we can say Jesus is Lord is the one who empowers all of these gifts. We're not talking about somebody like a gifted child, that's a different use of the word altogether. We're not talking about your ability to play the violin or being precocious mathematically when you're 6 years old. We're not talking about your IQ. We're not talking about your athletic skill. Those are human things. We're talking about spiritual gifts here, spiritual abilities, ministry abilities. They're given by the Spirit. There are a variety of ministries, same Lord. Variety of effects, same God. There are differing abilities, they function in different ministries, and they have a variety of effects. It's all the same God, it's all the same Lord, and it's all the same Spirit. But to each one, verse 7, each believer, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Every one of you as a believer has the manifestation of the Spirit through a ministry ability. The Spirit of God has given you a ministry ability for the common good. It's not for you, it's for us. It's for us. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. And then there were in the apostolic time gifts of healing, miracles, to another prophecy, the distinguishing of spirits, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. Every individual has a manifestation of the Spirit in a ministry ability. In apostolic time, and that's a whole other study for another time, there were sign gifts, which are miracles, healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Romans chapter 12 also has a list of gifts that needs to be compared to this one. Romans chapter 12 talks about one body. All members do not have the same function. Verse 4, we who are many are one body in Christ, individually members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, showing mercy. In 1 Peter 4, you have two categories. There are the serving gifts and the speaking gifts. And they are manifold and multicolored. And they are all given us by the Holy Spirit. That's what verse 11 says, 1 Corinthians 12:11. One and the same Spirit works all these things. This is the amazing thing. The Lord, by the Spirit, collects all these people together so that we can mutually minister to one another in fullness, that there might be a manifestation of the full glory of Christ through His body, which is the church. That's why we are commanded in Hebrews 10, and this is an important command familiar to you, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. How do we do that? Through our gifts, through our ministries to one another. Not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some. Don't be like some who aren't here all the time. Don't forsake the assembly, but rather encourage one another. All the more as you see the day drawing near. We meet together for mutual ministry. We meet together to stimulate one another to love and good works. You could add to that all the list of the one another's in the New Testament. Exhort one another, pray for one another, love one another, rebuke one another, reprove one another, restore one another. They go on and on and on. This is how the body of Christ functions. All of this one another, all of this gifting is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then has an ongoing ministry through the body of believers. My gift is not for me, it's for you. Your gift is not for you, it's for me. And we are all enriched by the multiplicity of Spirit-given, Spirit-energized gifts. So when you think about the Holy Spirit, spend some time worshiping the Holy Spirit. Worship Him. Worship Him the same way you worship Christ. Worship Him the same way you worship God the Father. I know we don't have enough hymns to sing to the Holy Spirit. We need to write more. Worship the Holy Spirit as the one who has regenerated you, as the one who has drawn you into intimacy with God, as the one who has given you the Scripture and is illuminating you to understand that Scripture, as the one who is showing you the glory of Christ, as the one who is personally guiding you into the will of God, orchestrating all the issues of your life in the direction of God's will, as the one who has placed you in the body and gifted you and all the people around you for mutual ministry. Why? Let's look at Ephesians 4, and we'll stop there and see how this mutual ministry works. Ephesians 4, verse 12, it talks about the equipping of the saints for the work of service. The equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Why? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. What we want is a body that looks like Christ. That is as much the work of the Holy Spirit as the teaching and the preaching is. And that is the fullness of the body manifesting the fullness of Christ. That's what a church should be. People should come to a church and they should say, the teaching is obviously empowered by the Holy Spirit. But so is the loving, and so is the fellowship, and so is the mutual ministry at every level. It is obvious that the ministry to children and young people and adults is energized by the Holy Spirit. It is obvious that the ministry to the needy and those that are suffering is energized by the Spirit of God. It ought to be pervasive so that Christ is manifest everywhere, because we have reached what Paul calls the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Holy Spirit, we come before You now to worship You, and we ask forgiveness for grieving You, for quenching You, for not giving to You the honor and the glory that You are due. You are as worthy as our Christ. You are as worthy as God the Father. You are all glorious. You are wondrous. You are majestic. You are eternal. We worship You. We give You praise and honor and thanks for implementing all that the Father and the Son have set in the eternal decree to unfold in the plan of redemption. We thank You for convicting us of sin, leading us to repentance, quickening our hearts under the power of the gospel, for regenerating us. We thank You, O Holy Spirit, for the ongoing work of sanctification, separating us from sin further and further. We thank You for coming to take up Your residence in us, though we are unworthy. We thank You for placing us into the body. We thank You for equipping us with ministry capability that is supernatural. We thank You for glorifying Christ increasingly to us and shaping us into His image. We thank You for leading us to understand the Word and to know Your will and the providences of life. We thank You for drawing us into the place where You want us to be and enriching our lives with such good gifts. Thank You for putting us in the body of Christ where You can minister to us not only in our own lives but through the lives of those who surround us in the fellowship. We love You. Teach us to love You more and to rejoice in You. May we never, never assign to You those things that are not Yours. May we never cheapen You. May we defend the integrity of Your ministry as revealed in Scripture. May we defend Your honor and Your glory. May we be true representatives of Your work. May we put Your work on display by the way we live individually. May it be obvious that we are Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled, and Spirit-led, for there's no other explanation for our spiritual impact. We know this pleases You, for as Christ came to show us the Father, You have come to glorify the Son. And we praise You and we thank You for this work. We thank You that You sealed us to eternal glory, and the seal can never be broken. You have secured us to our heavenly destination. For that as well, we praise You. Amen.
Listening to John MacArthur, president of the Master's College and Seminary, both schools in Los Angeles. The title of the current's new study here on Grace to You, Taking the Mystery Out of the Spirit's Work. Well, it certainly makes sense that you'd find lots of people, lots of churches, saying a lot about the importance of living a Spirit-filled life. Yet, John, for all that emphasis on being Spirit-filled, maybe there's not always a real understanding of what it means. Your thoughts?
Well, Carl, I think you could drop the word maybe. There's not always a real understanding of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And yet that's basic. We're instructed in Scripture, be being kept filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What is the import of that? That's a command to us. We better understand exactly what it means. Some people would tell us it means to speak in some kind of non-language gibberish. Some people would tell us it very likely means to be knocked over, slain, quote, in the Spirit. What does it really mean? Scripture gives us an answer, and it's a sane, rational, holy, godly, understandable answer. We've put together a little booklet by that title, What Does It Mean to Be Filled with the Spirit? We want to give it to you as a gift. That's how important that is to us. We want believers to be filled with the Spirit. We don't want you to be confused. Do you think it's a one-time event? Or do you think it's an event that happens maybe a few times if you rise to a certain level? Or is it a constant experience? How does a person go about being filled with the Spirit? And what happens in your life when you are filled with the Holy Spirit? How can you tell when you are or when you aren't? The Bible answers all those questions explicitly, and so does this booklet. It's titled, What Does It Mean to Be Filled with the Spirit? Here's the good news. Call, write, send an email, and we'll send you the booklet free of charge. Just ask for it. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit?
If you want to know what the Spirit-filled life looks like and how you can experience it, write or call us today and ask for a copy of the booklet, What Does It Mean to Be Filled with the Spirit? It's a quick read, but very practical. Get in touch today and let us know that you want a copy. Send an email request to letters@gty.org or through the regular mail, write to Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. You can also call our toll-free number available anytime, 1-800-55-GRACE. Ask for John's booklet, What Does It Mean to Be Filled with the Spirit? Again, it's free of charge. Request your copy when you email letters@gty.org or write to Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or call toll-free, 1-800-55-GRACE. Now, if you'd like to review John's current study, what you heard today and the rest of the series, Taking the Mystery Out of the Spirit's Work, you can download all three messages free in the MP3 or transcript format. Do that at gty.org. Our website also has about 3,000 total messages by John, all available free, along with streaming video of Grace to You television, a blog featuring biblical insight from John and the staff, and the Grace to You application, which gives you access to all of John's sermons wherever you have your iPhone or your Android device. All that and much more online at gty.org. Now for John and the staff, thanks for joining us today. Remember, we're here each weekday for a half hour of unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You. Why should you rejoice if you're engaged in a battle with your sinful flesh? See why that's evidence of genuine Spirit-filled life on tomorrow's Grace to You.